KGO, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and worldwide at KGOradio.com. A Cumulus station.
Tell them to put on the radio.
Turn on the radio.
Just sit back and enjoy the ride, boys.
Woo! Do you have any idea what time it is?
I love this show.
Me too.
Hit it!
It's showtime.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. Good evening, everybody. We've got a lot going on. And today is Friday. Hallelujah. It's here. And the chaos is about to unfold here in the city of San Francisco. Friday, January 22nd. Let me take a look.
Calm before the storm right now.
I know. Yeah. Speaking of storms, everybody's talking about, I don't know when they started naming storms on the East Coast, but the snowpocalypse. Jonas is happening, and we've got a lot of rain coming in here.
Remember a year or so ago, it was the polar vortex.
Right.
Yeah. It always sounds like a Michael Bay movie or something, you know?
Snowmageddon and all of those good things. And I think that's happening, by the way. If you're going to Tahoe, be warned. Lots of snow on the way this weekend. And then there is Super Bowl City, which is about to, as you
erupt.
Said, yes. Speaking of all things disruption, which we love here, you know, disrupt is a word that was invented, and we're all about it living here in the Bay Area. But the hellstorm that's about to unfold is the topic around the country. And I love this. Heather found this right before we went on the air. This is from NPR, Minnesota Public Radio, I suppose. San Francisco paying the price for the Super Bowl bid secrecy. And so this is the lead story. We're only 2 years away from hosting a Super Bowl in Minnesota. So it's worth paying attention this year to how things are going in Santa Clara, which hosts this year's edition. And they go on to talk about San Francisco. Well, we're kind of taking it. You know, I have to tell you, from the no-go zones to the licensed vendors to the homeless and to the tax bill, everybody's talking about what's going on with Super Bowl City. And it's very exciting to have Super Bowl 50 here. Let's face it. I mean, who doesn't want this game?
Who doesn't love a party?
Yeah, right on. So we're all about it. Denver taking on New England this weekend, and Panthers and the Cardinals. So it'll be one of those teams, you know, coming against the other, and the party will go on. But the thing that is most prominent, front and forward in discussion here in the city of San Francisco and around the Bay, especially no matter where you live, is how are we going to get in here? How are you going to get out of here? And the commute and the businesses that are being shut down because they can't get their deliveries. And I don't know, even little ancillary things like the billboards that are up on the side of the buildings. You know,
is it a billboard or isn't it?
Right. And San Francisco has a very strict law that thou shalt not have any billboards. Well, all of a sudden, they're all over the side of buildings.
Thou shalt not signage.
Yeah.
Unless you're Ed Lee's friend.
Right. And, you know, the mayor has asked the city to cut expenses by 3% over the next 2 years. And coming up on the fiscal calendar, business-wise, this year, we're looking at a $100 million deficit. So
we can pay for the Super Bowl party?
And with that in mind, the report comes out of HuffPo today that it's going to cost the taxpayers of San Francisco about $4.8 million. And it hasn't even unfolded yet. It's a tough pill to swallow for some people.
Well, and it's starting to stink more and more. I told you about going across the street to the cafe, and the small business, awesome small business owner, was saying that this was really going to cut into their work and their profits because a lot of their vendors cannot deliver the goods they need, i.e. baked goods, breads, etc.
Yeah, a lot of vendors
they're in the zone.
Right.
They get their Acme bread from Acme Bread at the Ferry Building, and they apparently, I probably have this wrong, but can't deliver, and it's not a matter of, hey, it's really close, you could just walk the bread over, but that they have to shut down because they're not a licensed NFL vendor.
That's right.
And you have to have a deal with the NFL to just sell something in San Francisco now? Is that what I'm hearing?
And the other thing is,
that can't be right.
Well, you're right, Heather. And the other thing is that, you know, let's face it, the Super Bowl city that is San Francisco, it has a big homeless population, and they're trying to scurry them away. They don't want them in the eye of the camera. So when you've got a lot of cameras going on that are going to be pointed at the city, they want to have an image of a city that doesn't include poverty. So there's kind of this homeless shaming thing going on. And it is a big issue because there are a lot of homeless. They're trying to clean the city up. They don't want it to smell like pee poo.
There is
we'll address
so
that during the 9
homeless.
O'clock hour. Yeah, but where are you going to put them? I mean, they want to put them in shelters, but
well, the shelters,
why aren't they sheltered anyway?
Because the shelters are too full.
That's right.
Right, you read the article. Yeah. The waiting list for average shelter, I guess, is 500 to 700 people. So those people do want to get in, but they don't have the space. There's other people. I heard or read an interview where the guy was like, "Oh God, shelter schmelter, those things stink. They're creepy. I'd rather sleep outside by myself than in a room with a bunch of strangers." And we've heard stories about how people get things stolen off of them while they're sleeping at a shelter. I mean, it's not an awesome place. I have to say, though, this is so funny because I'm like, okay, I keep hearing these stories about homeless getting shooed from that general region. But last night, oh, I wish I had a GoPro camera or something like that. When I was driving home from the station after work, I look over to my right and there's a homeless man up and out of his sleeping bag that's right there on the curb along the Embarcadero, totally naked, on his knees, peeing from the curb into the street.
Yeah.
It was glorious. I was like, look at you, yeah. Mr. No Shame.
Right.
He didn't go in between a car or anything like it. It was like, just like, I'm gonna just crawl out of my sleeping bag and kneel to where I can pee, but not on myself or the sleeping bag. It was amazing. Amazing.
And I know all you have to do is roll through the mission and you can get a really good show right up the street here. So, and here is the big issue. And I think that this needs to be addressed. So the city is telling commuters to A, take mass transit, or walk or bike, or take a well-deserved three-week vacation. Now, how the hell is that going to happen? So, you know, I have to tell you, if you live in the city, it's not a thing. But if you're commuting, this is already a nightmare in your mind. Am I right? 808-0810.
Yeah, what is your contingency plan? Are you telling your boss you're going on your vacation?
For
or
3 weeks?
Is your boss,
I don't think so,
the type of person? Well, a week, whatever.
It's 3 weeks.
I don't think it is.
It is. Yes, Super Bowl City is 3 weeks. Indeed.
Okay, so you take a week off of it or whatever so that you don't have to live the entire hell. But so, yeah, what are your contingency plans? Do you have them worked out yet? What are you thinking? And on top of all of this, I will say that, you know, something happened to the Bay Bridge in 1989, and we did okay. You know, I felt like people pulled together and were able to get to and from work in alternate ways. But to your point, I hope they've added ferry service, et cetera.
Well, and a lot of it, and a lot of trains, and a lot of, you know, a lot of buses, and a lot of Uber people, because 808-0810 is the number to talk about this, 8810. What is, as Heather mentioned, your contingency plan to get into the city? Because they're telling people, do not drive your private automobile into the city. Well, that's impossible. You know, I live in another county, okay? And so even at the BART stations, they're telling you, for instance, if I were to go to Rockridge, do not take your car to the Rockridge station because there will be no parking. So I suppose I have to Uber there and hope I can get an Uber and then get BART over here.
And trust me, surge pricing.
Oh, for sure. If you can even get one.
I'm looking into buying a motor scooter.
Here is the insanity. Right. And even the bicyclists, you know, down there at the Embarcadero, they're telling them that they're going to have to walk their bikes through the crowd. Well, good luck with that. 808-0810.
The other thing where I was headed is your nice boss going to let you work from home?
Yes. I mean, you know, there are so many people that need to do so many things. We have a million people that commute into the city every day who are not citizens of San Francisco, but yet we are, since we spend at least, I don't know, half of our life here working. So, you know, it is a concern. And so I think that we all have a say in this, but it seems like we don't. When you're telling us to bike or walk, you know, as we were talking earlier, perhaps we should get a canoe to go across the bay. What the hell?
That is the way to go.
Yeah.
You need a kayak.
Yeah. No crap. All right. Let's continue the conversation on the other side. And speaking of which, all things traffic, let's talk to Lee Graham. So, Lee, the party begins tomorrow, and I guess the real traffic party will begin on Monday, the rodeo anyway.
Well, you know, I wanted to mention, if you don't mind, Drex, I want to mention, too, that, you know, that traffic situation, you might consider one of those flying wing suits that seem to be all the rage.
Our Uber copter, yeah, one of those things. I was thinking, exactly how does that work and how expensive? You're listening to the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGOradio.com. So, Bart is going to be operating up and running, but even the Embarcadero Station, which will remain open during business hours, they're going to be closing the Montgomery and Powell stations. So, you know, you're going to have to watch where you go. And buy your tickets ahead of time. You should probably, if you don't usually use BART, get a Clipper card. I don't know, at Walgreens or wherever they sell them. But do your due diligence to get in here. That's for darn sure. And the parking, as I said, and this is coming from BART. And this is what I find very interesting. So their words, plan on limited parking. Unless riders have a monthly parking permit, BART strongly encourages riders to avoid the driving thing, period, to BART stations, no matter where they are in the Bay Area, because the lots are going to be busier than usual, obviously, since a million people are trying to get in here. So, again, consider mass transit, carpooling, bicycling, or having someone drop you off. 808-0810 is the number. So, how do you go about doing that? 808-0810. If you don't live in the city, if you live in the South Bay, or if you live in Marin, or you live in Oakland, or wherever you are, consider mass transit, carpooling, bicycling, or have someone drop you off. Now, I don't know who the hell is going to drop me off, or anybody else that needs to work in the city.
You know, I think we should just join the homeless people and have a tent right down there, and then we can just walk into work. It'll be so easy.
Should we just bring a pillow and call it a night?
Yeah, we'll just be sleeping in the corner, and Jen and John can wake us up in the morning when they get here and be like, hey, move, go sleep underneath somebody else's desk.
We'll have cuddle parties.
Do you know, a man just called, he said Hunter Pence's motor scooter was stolen.
Oh, I love that.
So he bought a new one, and then they returned, I guess the SFPD found the old one. So now he has two, and he thought, well, maybe Hunter will let me use his. And so, Hunter, if you're out there.
Well, that's another
thing. I need a bike.
Yeah. Property crime here in the city is quadrupled in the last several years. So I don't know. Where would you park your scooter to begin with?
Oh, right. There's actually a new company called Bolt. I believe it's Bolt. And they have a scooter sharing system, I believe. Or it looks like a little scooter, but it's a bicycle with a teeny engine. So you can park it on the sidewalk.
I have to tell you.
Big new technology.
So back to Minnesota again, because Minnesota is going to be hosting the Super Bowl in 2 years. They're looking very closely at who did what, and they're saying San Jose did it correctly, and San Francisco really took it.
Skirted the issue, so to speak.
I have to tell you, here's a quote from the Chronicle, and they gave it to NPR in Minnesota. Then there's the thought of being taken for a ride by the NFL, which collects $10 billion in revenue a year, making it a larger economic entity for the city itself. Santa Clara got the Super Bowl, and San Francisco's getting the traffic in gridlock, Supervisor Jane Kim told the Chronicle. So there you have one of our very own supervisors exactly, squaring up here what time it is and what's going on. So Santa Clara gets the Super Bowl, and we're getting the traffic and the gridlock. And again, if you don't live or work in the city of San Francisco, it's no big deal. It'll be a big party, and you should come in and enjoy it. The rest of us, I guess that we will try to make it work. We'll do the best that we can. But the demands from the NFL, this report coming from NPR today, the committee that attracted the game to Minnesota, says they got to give away a lot of freebies with the NFL without the knowledge of the city officials, and that might be what's going on here. I'm demanding, 35,000 free parking spaces, according to this, and access to top quality golf courses in the summer or fall before the game, access to bowling alleys, free police escorts for NFL owners, free presidential suites at top hotels, portable cellular towers at team hotels, a cell phone signal strength that is not acceptable, free billboards. I mean, those sort of things, free radio ads and free newspaper advertising leading up to the game, it was reported. And this goes on again. This is what's coming out of Minnesota because they're very concerned with what's going to happen to them in 2 years. So I think that we'll make the best of it, but we'll see how it goes. you know, it's going to be a tough couple of weeks if, again, if you commute into the city of San Francisco and around the Bay. I just think that the whole thing is going to be gridlocked. But who knows? Here's the other thing. It may rain the whole time, and it might be much ado about nothing, you know, and I really
think... Well, the rain will make it worse,
well,
don't you think?
Who's going to show up at Super Bowl City, though, in the pouring rain with all the streets closed down? I mean, they'll go to the parties, and they will descend. There's no doubt about that.
I think they'll still show up. People are idiots for this kind of stuff.
And you got to love this story. So, and as I said, the big games go on this weekend. We'll see whether it's going to be Denver. We've got Denver taking on New England and the Panthers taking on the Cardinals. And the winners of each game will play each other here in Santa Clara. But is the NFL trying to sabotage New England with a Denver-friendly head referee? This is a great story. So some people think the NFL is trying to sabotage the Patriots this weekend by having the Broncos' friendly referee call the game. Allegedly, according to this report, they point out that Denver is 7.0 in games called by this guy over the past 15 seasons. But New England is 10-5 in that span, and they won the only game he called for them this year. So, I mean, that's all crazy talk, and that's up to the people of New England and Denver to figure out. But there's a lot going on behind the scenes of the Super Bowl as it, well, it's creeping, and the touchdown is just about, I don't know, the drive for the goal line is on, and we shall see. It all starts tomorrow. So, you know, the city is about to be the highlight of the world, and I think it's a beautiful thing. We can't wait for the game, and we'll see what happens with the traffic. A wing and a prayer, and a wing is what we might need. Ubercopter. Ubercopter for everybody.
It's 2016. Where's my jetpack?
That's exactly it.
Good God.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll be back. When we come back, we're going to be talking to author A.K. Driggs, Abandon in Search of Rainbows. That's on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Listen to Michael Finney's Finds Monday through Friday at 7:50 a.m. and 5:12 p.m. for the latest in consumer news. Brought to you by Vitucci and Associates.
For John Lobertini, I'm Paul Rogers, KGO 810.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Yes, but how many times in life do we find ourselves not being amazing just the way we are because we're nervous about what other people think? So how do we find ourselves amid a confusing sexual history is specifically what we're going to talk about with A.K. Driggs. Good evening, and thank you for joining me, A.K.
Aloha, and thank you for having me.
Oh, I love it that you're in Hawaii. I'm jealous.
Well, our weather's a little bit nicer than what you're about to have, but certainly both of us, we're better than back east.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Yes, we're having a big storm here, but I don't know. Is it Snowzilla? I don't know. Apocalypse, the Snowpocalypse. They've given it all kinds of names, and including the National Weather Service now calling it Jonas. I never knew that winter storms had names, but nonetheless it does. So you could not have had a more auspicious start to life. Born in a paper bag in a bar and grill.
Yes, I was abandoned in a brown paper bag on a toilet seat in a bar and grill in Rochester, New York in 1954.
And then you were adopted by a loving couple, and you continued making waves with your extraordinary life and your journey. Tell us about that.
Oh, wow. I'll be 62 tomorrow. How do you put 62
Happy
years
birthday.
Yeah,
in a quick
indeed.
Situation? Well, basically, I was deemed unadoptable for the first 2.5 years. Apparently, I had all sorts of issues. I had a rash from head to toe and ugly birthmarks all over my body, which did go away, by the way. And they deemed me unadoptable. Why, I don't know. But so I was thrown around in a lot of different foster homes. But at 2.5, they decided, gosh, we better get rid of this kid or no one's going to want her. So they put me up for adoption. And there was this wonderful couple, Bob and Betty Driggs, who had been waiting for a little girl for 7 years. And they had adopted a boy previously, and there was nothing available. And then one day, they got the call, and they said, well, we have a kid. She doesn't look anything like you, and she's got a lot of issues. And my mother, Betty, mother-to-be, said, I don't care what she looks like. We want her.
Aww.
Well, it's a great story, and I have to tell you, so your story and the name of the book is Abandoned in Search of Rainbows. It becomes about sexuality, am I right? And identity
issues.
Well,
that's one of the topics. There are many, many facets in the book, like a diamond, and there are many stories within the book. It's like watching a movie and the little heroine, just when you think she's going to make it, the you-know-what hits the fan again, and it goes up and down and up and down, and there's struggles and bullying and a life full of abandonment and betrayal, and it touches everyone of all ages and walks in life. But one of the challenges that was coming out in the book, which is profound, is, you know, as an abandoned baby, I came with a lot of abandonment issues, and all I ever wanted to do was please everyone. Please my parents, make sure that I could fix everything. And that went on for years. And so when I discovered in my junior year that I had feelings for women, I went, oh, my God, I have to make that go away. That's not going to be okay. And even though my uncle was gay and had been living with his companion at that point for 30 years, they lived together for 50 years, that was my father's brother, and even though they were accepted by my parents, I immediately thought my parents would not be okay with this. And all I ever wanted, I thought, was to grow up and get married and have a beautiful marriage to a guy like my mom and dad, have a couple kids, do my singing career, which was the goal since I was little, and live a happy life.
And I do believe that everyone in the LGBTQ community, you know, at some point in their life, they think to themselves, I want to be like mom and dad, and they can't understand, you know, the process.
That's
processing
right.
This through their heads, that they're different and they can't understand why. And
that's,
you
that's
face
right.
that challenge?
And
yes.
I struggled with it, and I kept trying to make it go away. And
right.
I kept trying to be with guys. And it wasn't, and I need to really make this clear, it wasn't that I didn't like men. To me, it didn't matter what the physical body was. It was the person inside. I was attracted to girls, women, and I was attracted to men. And I was like, oh, my God, am I going to be bisexual for my whole life? I can't. That will be I just can't live like that. So I just said to God, hey, God, whoever you are out there, oh, great being, oh, great, wonderful spirit that watches over us, please send me the right soul. I don't care what it is. Mm. Is it a boy or a girl? Just make it happen. And it was very difficult. And every time I was with a guy, even though it was okay sexually, here's the key. I kept looking over my shoulder at women.
Hey, AK, can I take a step back? I'm
yes.
so curious. How old were you when Bob and Betty told you about your auspicious start, that you were abandoned in a brown
yes.
paper bag, no less, on a toilet seat, no less, like insult to injury?
The moment the trial period started, when you adopt a child, at least back in the 50s and 60s and 40s, they have what's called the trial period for about 6 months. And that's where the baby lives with the soon-to-be-adopted parents as a trial.
Mm.
So the moment I moved in with them, they told me that I was going to be adopted and that I was the chosen child, not from my womb nor bone of my bone, but still miraculously my own. Don't forget for a single minute you didn't grow under my heart, but in it. My mother
Aww.
Used to say that to me all the time. So I knew what adoption was because they told me at 2 and a half.
Okay. So,
but did they tell you that your real mother left you in a bar?
I found that out when I was about 15 years old. When
okay.
I was about 15, I kept, well, the whole time from the moment I was 2 and a half to 3, I never shut up. I kept asking questions after questions and inquisitive about what's life, what's death, where do we go, are there UFOs, mommy, what's this, what's that? I mean, mom said, oh, my
yeah.
God, Kim, you never, they called me Kim. They never, she says, you never shut up with questions. So at about 15, I kept asking over and over again, and mom said, you know what, come with me. We're going down to the Rochester Public Library in Rochester, New York, and we're going to look up an article. And I said, well, what's the article? And she says, honey, it's the article that I've told you about before where we saw you in the paper that day. Because what happened was, before they got me, my mom and dad opened up the newspaper in the morning, and there was a blast article all over the front page of the Section B of the Democrat and Chronicle.
Sure.
Saying, "Who's foundling baby abandoned in washroom?" It was a whole article. It's actually in the book. The article's in the book.
Yeah. So did you ever try to find the person who abandoned you or even go to that bar?
The trail ran cold. Okay. And when Mom and I went down to the library and found the microfilm and got the article, that's when I knew the whole story. And you know what? Because intuitively, I did not go and seek that, because to me, my real mom was Betty. And
fantastic.
When I did, the book talks about a chapter where I went to see a psychic, and not some sham, you know, phony person, the real deal, who was a friend of one of my best friend's mother. And she only saw people who were very close through a private situation. And she knew nothing about me, but she did a session with me, and she could see the whole, this woman leaving me in the gutter in the cold winter, and she saw all of this without even knowing my story. And in that session, she said the birth mother was no longer on the physical plane.
Wow, that's amazing. It's strong stuff. So I want to get to the transition of, you know, how you flipped the entire deck, and throughout your life you felt the need to feel accepted and then make the big change sexually with your own identity. We'll continue our conversation coming up here with A.K. Driggs, the author of Abandoned in Search of Rainbows, on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. But right now,
guns and news from around the world.
A meeting actor Sean Penn had a few months ago with Joaquin El Chapo Guzman led to the drug lord's recapture.
Hear the news and then talk about it. KGOA 10. News, talk, and traffic. When news breaks in the Bay Area, hear it live on the Bay Area's news station. KGO 810.
You're listening to the Drex Radio
Talk
Show.
Radio to feed your brain. Drex Radio Show. Weeknights at 7 on KGO 810.
Okay, how about a little more self-promotion?
Right,
hey,
right,
what are we listening to? Are you
listening to Drex Radio Show? Right on.
Is this
yes.
KGO?
It is. It's here and it's happening. I'm talking to AK Driggs. And we are talking about, well, you know, it couldn't be more of a crazy story, but it's true. Discovered inside of a brown paper bag, you're abandoned by your mother who left you in a bar, then you were finally adopted, and then there was this struggle with not only abandonment, but your own sexuality. So I say to you, let's go right to the point, AK. A lot of people listening struggle, even in their adult lives, with self-acceptance. What do you say to them?
Well, you know what? I think the bottom line is you have to be true to yourself. You can't be someone else, and you can't live your life trying to please someone else. When I finally admitted that I was more comfortable with a woman and I could be okay with me, you have to love you. You have to love you, and you have to find what makes you happy. Because if you're happy, whether it's you're gay, you're straight, you're transgender, whatever it is that makes you happy, you will be a better human being. You will be a better person on every level.
And I think that people want to do that, but they're so concerned about the people that are closest to them, that be, well significant,
you know,
others, family. I mean, you know, and it's a really tough road to hoe.
It is really tough. And I can tell you that when I came out to my mother finally in my mid-20s that I was living with a woman, you know, she was struggling with her own demons after my father's death. And I knew that she didn't accept it, but she loved me, and she tried to put it someplace to deal with it. And it took me a long time to be okay with not having to please her, which was my whole life's mission, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you have to find a way to say, okay, you know, I love you, Mom, and I love you, Dad, and I love you, sis and brother, but if you expect me to be something else for you, we all lose.
Oh, that's a great way of putting it, for crying out loud.
Because you find, and again, with your auspicious start to life as a newborn being abandoned, those issues come up. So I ask you, now that you've accepted yourself and your own sexuality, which is huge, for a lot of people, because a lot of people hide behind things and they don't do it. But what about the continuing feeling of being abandoned?
Well, you know, that's taken a long time to get over. Like I said, I'll be 62 tomorrow, and I finally found my soulmate at age 40. And it turned out to be, at the time, my best friend. And even though I am completely secure, I have found my rainbow. The book takes you through the whole journey. There are still times when abandonment creeps up. For example, a situation occurred where I thought for a moment I might lose my one and only.
Right.
Not because she'd leave, but because of an illness. Mm-hmm. Something happened, and I was like, oh, my God, what if it's, you know? And all of a sudden, it was like a button got pushed. You know the button pushing mechanism within each of our emotional bodies?
Sure, absolutely.
And I went right back to feeling, oh, my God, I'm going to be abandoned.
And I have to tell you,
I don't think it ever goes away completely, but you learn how to manage it.
Well, I like one of the things that you talk about, and we don't have to just talk about the sexuality or the abandonment issue, but you also address people when it comes to race, adoption, and even disability, which I think is very powerful.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I had breast cancer. You know, I was on my 50th birthday.
Wow.
I was diagnosed 1 week before with invasive breast cancer. And I was like, seriously, after all this? But I was with Janet at the time, and she took over. The caregiving aspect, there's a whole chapter in that. I shut right down. I was like, oh, my God, I heard nothing. All I heard was the dreaded words chemo. And she took over, and for 7 months of, for me, hell, but I had the best team. We got through it together. And I learned so much about what a caregiver is for so many things, disability, illness, whatever. You know, they suffer with you.
Yeah.
You are not alone in this. It's not all about you.
Oh, I understand. I mean, you
right,
know, when your significant
right.
other
many
has to share this.
I'm sure have experienced
yeah, they, and you know, the partners feel guilt, and then the person who has the disability or who is struggling through the illness, they feel
right.
guilty for the other person, and it just goes back and forth and back and
that's
forth.
That's right.
It goes
that's
on this
right.
teeter-totter.
But it becomes a partnership. And a song I wrote at the very end of the book, because I was a recording artist, and it's the first song I had written in over 40 years. In fact, it talks about in the book how I abandoned myself, but I won't go into that now. But it talks about, you know, fixing it all along the way, how we as a partnership fixing it all along the way. And it continues through life, challenges that you have together.
Yeah, well, it's nonstop. It never stops, life. I mean, you know, it's one thing after another. You got through the abandonment part, and then, you know, you were fortunate enough to be adopted by wonderful parents, and then you had the sexuality issues, and then all of a sudden breast cancer. My God. Well, what a happy
you're like,
birthday
where's
you
my
made.
Pot of gold
right.
already?
It's in Hawaii, and your
well,
birthday
I found
tomorrow.
My pot
right.
of gold, and the story is like a magical mystery tour. It takes the reader through it, and the journey, you laugh. You cry, but you smile. And in the end, I did find the rainbow. And it's you know, the bottom line with all of this, it's find out what makes you happy. Whether you're straight or gay, it doesn't matter. What is it that thrills you? Is it playing golf? Is it playing your guitar? For me, is it singing to all animals? That was I'm an animal prodigy. I sing to animals and everything changes for them in a positive way. Is it being a radio show host? Is it being a grandfather, granddaughter? Is it paddling, running? What is it?
Well, A.K.,
identify that.
You are quite an inspiration. A.K. Driggs, author of Abandoned in Search of Rainbows, and it is available now everywhere. And I thank you, and aloha, and happy birthday.
Thank you so much for having me. And
all
you
right.
can find everything you need to know at abandonedinsearchofrainbows.com. Mahalo to all of you, and blessings.
And have a good evening. Thank you very much. We're
going
to take a break.
Have a great birthday.
Right on, yes.
I will.
Aloha. Yeah, I love it. Who doesn't want to be in Hawaii right now? Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we have, once again, a Sketch Fest comedian. Sean Jordan will be in studio on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Spending too much on your Medicare Part D copays? Walgreens has preferred relationships with some of the nation's top Part D plans, which could mean lower copays for you. So switch your prescriptions to a Walgreens pharmacy today to start saving on Medicare Part D. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Walgreens participates as a preferred network pharmacy in your area with Cigna and United Healthcare. Top plans based on 2015 Medicare enrollment data. Walgreens participates with other plans. See walgreens.com/Medicare for details.